Good morning.
Good morning.
Today we again follow the order of service in the bulletin, and our opening hymn is 899, which is Across the Sky, the Shades of Night.
Memory of your birth.
I invite you to please stand. We bow our heads in prayer. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we come into your presence to seek your mercy, to hear your word, and to offer up our prayers and praises. Hear us for the sake of the Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and his atoning sacrifice on the cross for our sins. Amen. Our psalm today is Psalm 90, which we discussed in Bible class, and we will read it together in unison. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn man to destruction and say, "Return, O children of men." For 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past, and like a watch in the night. You carry them away like a flood, they are like a sleep. In the morning they are like grass which grows up. In the morning it flourishes and grows up. In the evening it is cut down and withers. For we have been consumed by your anger, and by your wrath we are terrified. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your countenance. For all our days have passed away in your wrath. We finish our years like a sigh. The days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger? For as the fear of you, so is your wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? And have compassion on your servants. O satisfy us early with your mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days in which you have afflicted us, the years in which we have seen evil. Let your work appear to your servants, and your glory to their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands for us, yes, establish the work of our hands. We then confess our sins. Let us be wise and confess our sins unto the Lord, and look to him for mercy and forgiveness and the plenteous redemption of Jesus Christ, who redeemed us from all our iniquities. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you in our thoughts, desires, words, and deeds. We therefore flee for refuge in your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. For the sake of Jesus' holy life and his atoning sacrifice on the cross, I announce unto you the grace and mercy of God, and in the name instead of Jesus Christ our Savior, proclaim to you forgiveness for all your sins through faith in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We continue by singing hymn 392, God Loves Me Dearly. Jesus. us, my dear Redeemer. He sent for Jesus and set me free. Therefore, I'll say again, God loves me dearly. God loves me dearly, loves even me. Jesus, my Savior, himself did offer. Jesus, my Savior, paid all I owe. Therefore, I'll say again, God loves me dearly. God loves me dearly. Even me. Now I will praise you, O love eternal. Now I will praise you all my life long. Therefore I'll say again, God loves me dearly. God loves me dearly. Loves even me. I ask you to please stand for the reading of Holy Scripture. Our scripture lesson for today is recorded in Luke chapter 2, beginning at the 21st verse. And when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Now when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him, and had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all people, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yea, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Now there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years, who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. So when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. You may be seated. We pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we again ask your Holy Spirit's guidance and blessing upon the speaking and the hearing of your word this day, that we might be strengthened and built up in the true and saving faith, that we might be ready to depart this life and to be with you forever because of what our Lord Jesus Christ has done for us upon the cross. We ask these things for Jesus' sake. Amen. Our scripture reading today begins at verse 21, where it says, "And when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb." And of course, this takes us back to the angel Gabriel, who appeared to Mary and told her that she would conceive and bear in her womb a son who would be Christ, or the Messiah, the Lord, and that she should name this child Jesus. Joseph also, in a dream, was told by the angel that this child should be named Jesus because he would save his people from their sins. And so, after 8 days, when circumcision was to be performed, he was circumcised according to the law of Moses, and he also was given his name, the name Yeshua, or Jesus, which means Jehovah saves. And so his very name reflects the work which he would do. He would accomplish salvation for God's people. Now, when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. And here we often don't see that there's a time break between 8 days and when Jesus would have been brought to the temple. And of course, it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And the second reason for going to Jerusalem and to offer a sacrifice, according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And so two things are happening here. First of all, Jesus, being the firstborn son, is to be presented to the Lord and redeemed. And the second thing is a sacrifice had to be offered for Mary for her purification after giving birth. And of course, this is all according to the law of the Lord. Circumcision already begins in Genesis 17 with Abraham. After Abraham, God established his covenant with Abraham, he gave circumcision as a sign of the covenant. But in Leviticus chapter 12, we have the sacrifice that is required following childbirth. It says, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, if a woman has conceived and born a male child, then she shall be unclean 7 days, as in the days of her customary impurity, she shall be unclean. And on the 8th day, the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised," which this, of course, happened on the 8th day. She shall then continue in the blood of her purification 33 days. She shall not touch any hallowed thing, nor come into the sanctuary until the days of her purification are fulfilled. But if she bears a female child, then she shall be unclean 2 weeks, as in her customary impurity. She shall continue in the blood of her purification 66 days. And so if she were to have a girl child, the days of her purification are much longer. But in this case, so it would have been about 40 days after Jesus' birth that the days of her purification are complete, and only at this time is she able to come into the temple. And then it explains in verse 6 of Leviticus 12, "When the days of her purification are fulfilled, whether for a son or for a daughter, she shall bring to the priest a lamb of the first year as a burnt offering, and a young pigeon or a turtle dove as a sin offering to the door of the tabernacle of the meeting. Then he shall offer it before the Lord and make atonement for her, and she shall be clean from the flow of her blood. This is the law for her who has born a male or a female. And if she is not able to bring a lamb, then she may bring two turtle doves or two young pigeons. One is a burnt offering and the other is a sin offering. So the priest shall make atonement for her and she shall be clean." And so the two turtle doves are offered to Mary. They weren't wealthy enough to provide a lamb and a turtle dove or pigeon, and so their sacrifice was two turtle doves. Two doves were offered as the sacrifice for her purification after giving birth to a child. We also see in Numbers chapter 3, beginning at verse 40, says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, number all the firstborn males of the children of Israel from a month old and above, and take," excuse me, "and take the number of their names, and you shall take the Levites for me. I am the Lord, instead of all the firstborn among the children of Israel, and the livestock of the Levites, instead of all the firstborn among the livestock of the children of Israel." And so then it goes through and it shows, note Moses numbering all the children of the Levites, and it gives the number. And then it says, beginning at verse 44, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take the Levites instead of all the firstborn among the children of Israel, and the livestock of the Levites instead of their livestock. The Levites shall be mine. I am the Lord. And for the redemption of the 273 of the firstborn of the children of Israel, who are more than the number of the Levites, you shall take 5 shekels for each one individually. You shall take them in the currency of the shekel of the sanctuary, the shekel of 20 gerahs, and you shall give the money with which the excess number of them is redeemed to Aaron and his sons." And then we read that Moses took the redemption money from those who were over and above, those who were redeemed by the Levites, and it's given to the Levites. And then it says in verse 50, "From the firstborn of the children of Israel, he took the money, 1,365 shekels, according to the shekel of the sanctuary. And Moses gave the redemption money to Aaron and his sons, according to the word of the Lord, as the Lord commanded Moses." And so what is happening here in the Gospel of Luke is, after 40 days when from Jesus' birth, it is time for Mary to go to the temple and to offer this sacrifice for her purification, because until she does this, she cannot enter into the sanctuary and she is unclean. And so they go to offer the 2 turtle doves as a sacrifice so that Mary might be clean, because this is what the law of the Lord required. They also went there, as it says here, to present Jesus to the Lord. So they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And so because in the last plague, where God destroyed, killed all the firstborn among the Egyptians, but he spared the firstborn among the children of Israel, where the blood of the lamb was on the doorpost and the lintels of their homes, so the firstborn, God says, belong to him, whether man or beast. And God provided for that. It's in Exodus 12, if you wish to read that. But it was required that the firstborn son be presented to the Lord. Well, instead of offering, you know, in some cases, animals were offered as a sacrifice. In the case of some animals, they had to be redeemed or their neck would be broken. But in the case of a child, they were not to be sacrificed, but they were to be redeemed. And so it would be required of Joseph and Mary that they pay this 5 shekels, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, for the redemption of their firstborn son. This is not because Jesus was guilty or needed to be redeemed from sin. We might look at Jesus' baptism. Jesus didn't be baptized because he was a sinner. He was baptized because this was the will of the Lord. He was fulfilling all God's righteousness. And so here too, Jesus was fulfilling the law in our stead, not because he was a sinner, but because he was associated with us who are sinners. And so being the firstborn son, the redemption price was paid for the Lord Jesus. But something very special happened at the temple, and it kind of reminds me of, you know, what took place with the shepherds. They're out in the field and the announcement comes that, you know, this child born in Bethlehem and is none other than Christ the Lord. He's the Savior, who is the Savior of all the world. And so here, when they go to do what the law requires, we find a man by the name of Simeon. Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was just and devout. Just meaning not that he was without sin, but that he was one who trusted in the Lord for mercy and forgiveness. He was devout. He was faithful in following after the Lord. And notice he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. He was waiting for that one who would redeem Israel from all his sins and provide comfort, the comfort of forgiveness and life. God had enabled him to understand that all these sacrifices only pointed ahead to a greater sacrifice, that of his Messiah and Savior. So he's waiting for the consolation of Israel. And verse 26 tells us, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ, the Lord's Messiah, the Anointed One. And so here we have this man who is looking forward to the day when God fulfills his promise to send his only begotten Son. And it's revealed to him by the Holy Spirit. He's not going to die until he sees the fulfillment of God's promise, that the Lord's Christ, the Messiah, is born into this world. And it says, so he came by the Spirit into the temple. And so I'm sure he probably spent much time at the temple, but in this case, the Spirit moved him to go to the temple at this very time in order to show him what was promised, that he would see the Messiah. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace. We usually sing it, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace. But it actually means the same thing. We just don't necessarily follow the old English quite as well. So, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you prepared before the face of all peoples. A light to bring revelation. We are used to saying enlighten. The actual Greek word is the same word for, we have the book of Revelation, Apocalypse. So it is a revelation. In other words, for mine eyes have seen your salvation, which you prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles. In other words, to be reveal the way of salvation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. The glory of Israel is because God chose them to be the nation through whom the Messiah was sent and through whom the word of salvation was spread. And notice that Joseph and his mother marvel at those things which were spoken of him. And it's kind of like when the shepherds came into Bethlehem at night to see what the angel had told them. And, you know, many people probably gathered around there, saw that Mary had given birth and she's got this child that's lying in the manger. That word probably spread among the people who were gathered there waiting for their chance to register. And then they hear the words of the shepherd that this child lying there in the manger is none other than Christ the Lord. An angel appeared to us and told us that this child is God himself in human flesh, that he's come into this world to be our Savior. He's going to provide salvation for all people. And so the people are amazed at this message. Mary marveled at it, and as it says, you know, she pondered these things in her heart. And here they go to the temple to perform what every mother and father of a firstborn son would have to do. And Simeon comes and takes Jesus up in his arms and begins praising God because God kept his word to him. He has seen the salvation, and now he's ready to depart or to die in peace because he knows that his Savior has come. Certainly, there's a beautiful application for us here today as we consider those words. Are we ready to depart this life in peace, knowing that God sent his Son, that in Jesus, the price The guilt, the punishment for our sins has been paid in full, that in Jesus we have forgiveness and life. Can we depart this life in the confidence of knowing that God kept his promises made all the way back from after the fall in the Garden of Eden and down through the ages in the pages of Scripture, and that our Savior has come, and that in him we have eternal salvation. Perhaps we normally use this, and we will today, again, following communion, sing the Nunc Dimittis, which is the section of Scripture. It's certainly a fitting time because in the Lord's Supper, God gives us to partake of Jesus' body and blood. And as we partake of him, of his sacrifice, we receive the forgiveness and life. And so what a fitting way to express our thanks to God. Now I'm ready to depart this life in peace because you have provided salvation for me. And I have partaken of that very sacrifice in this sacrament, knowing that we have forgiveness and life. Of course, Simeon's words didn't stop there, as Joseph and his mother, Mary, are marveling, wondering over those things that are being spoken about their son. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." And so Simeon, blesses them, but he also tells Mary what this is going to bring for her and what this child is going to be for the people of this world. Notice it does not mention Joseph, perhaps because Joseph was maybe no longer alive at the time of Jesus' crucifixion and death. And so this child, he's destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel. This takes us back to Isaiah chapter 8 at verse 14. In verses 14 and 15 of Isaiah 8, it says, "He will be a sanctuary, but a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, as a trap and a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And many among them shall stumble, they shall fall and be broken, be snared and taken." And so it speaks to the fact that when the Messiah comes, as Peter writes in his epistle, that he will be a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. In other words, many of the people are just not going to be, will not trust in him as the promised one. And when you set aside everything that the scriptures point to, of course, you set aside all of the scriptures. And so the result of Jesus' coming is going to be a division among men. There are going to be those who, by the grace of God, trust in him, believe that he is God's Son in the flesh, that he has redeemed them by his sufferings and death. And there are going to be those who reject him, who just cannot bring themselves to believe in spite of all the miracles he did, in spite of his teaching, in spite of the fulfillment of the scriptures, in spite of his resurrection from the dead on the third day, do not trust in him. And so they stumble over him. They're offended in him. They fall because of him. And so it says, many among them shall stumble, they shall fall and be broken, be snared or trapped and taken. Jesus himself referenced this in Luke chapter 20. It says, "Then he looked at them and said, what then is this that is written? The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone," which is either from Isaiah or from Psalm 118. He says, "Whoever falls on that stone will be broken, but on whomever it falls, it will grind him to powder. And so it speaks of the judgment upon those who ultimately reject him. And so Simeon points out that this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel. Those who do not believe fall, they stumble, they turn away from the true faith. And those who believe are raised up from spiritual darkness and death and are given life through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. He's a sign which will be spoken against. And we can, you know, just look at the accounts that we went through in the Gospel of Luke, how Jesus was accused by the rulers of God's people, falsely accused and spoken against continually. And so indeed he was a sign and was spoken against. And a sword will pierce through your own soul also. In other words, Mary would be greatly grieved to see her son, whom she knew was God himself, whom she knew was the only hope and savior of God's people, to see him rejected and ultimately crucified. We think of Mary beneath the cross, watching as all these things unfold. But there is a purpose in it, as it says here, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Jesus reveals the thoughts of many hearts, of every heart. Everyone in this world either trusts in Jesus or neglects or rejects him, suffering the eternal punishment. And so in Jesus there is life, and apart from Jesus, there is downfall and death. We also read that there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age. She had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And so she's married for 7 years, then becomes a widow. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years, either meaning she's a widow and about 84 years old, or possibly if she's, you know, up around 100 years old, that she had been a widow for 84 years, depending how you read the original. Notice that she did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. So here you have a woman who is serving God, but it doesn't say that she is, you know, out doing all kinds, but she's serving him by fasting and praying to the Lord. And we should never, never underestimate the importance of praying to the Lord and praying for his will to be done, praying for pastors and teachers, praying for our fellow believers, because it is only the Lord who blesses the work, enables the work. It's only the Lord who keeps us in faith and will establish his kingdom. And so, so important. But again, notice, and coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all who look for redemption in Jerusalem. So here we have another example, kind of like the shepherds again, where she's telling everybody in Jerusalem that's waiting for the coming of the Messiah, this child is the fulfillment of that promise. This child is God himself coming to this world to redeem us from our sins. Now, if you think about the people coming into Jerusalem to the temple to worship, hearing her pointing people to this child, there are probably some who thought, well, this is just kind of a crazy old woman who, you know, lives here and devotes all her time to fasting and praying in the temple. But others, by the grace of God, heard her point to this child and would place their faith in this child as the Messiah and Savior. And again, when you think of all this, this is really no different than today. We speak about Christ as coming into this world, the babe born in Bethlehem. And many people look at it and say, well, it's, you know, a nice story. You know, it really shows, you know, the beauty of, it really wasn't probably too beautiful to give birth and to have to lay your child in the manger. But they talk about the beauty of this humble birth. But how many believe that this child who came into this world in this humble way, was laid in a manger, was none other than God himself in human flesh, and that he came into this world to fulfill all these promises, to redeem us from our sins, to make atonement for our sins, to be sacrificed. And as Christians, that's what we tell people. This child, and many people observe the birth of this child that you are talking about, this child is not just some baby born in Bethlehem. This child is your Savior. This child is God himself. This is what this child did. He went to the cross. He suffered and died for your sins. He rose again that you might trust in him and have forgiveness. He is set for the fall and the rising of many. Those who do not believe stumble and fall over him. They're led away by their unbelief and perish. But those who place their faith in Jesus and his cross have forgiveness in life. God grant us his Spirit to see and to know that this child that we celebrate is none other than Jehovah God himself in the flesh and our Savior. And that what he did on the cross was not just a terrible suffering and death, but it was the atonement for our sins and the sins of the entire world. And that his resurrection is not just a story or a fable, but it is proof that God accepted his sacrifice, that through faith in him we have forgiveness, and through faith in him we too will be raised up on the last day. God grant that to us for Jesus' sake. Amen. We continue our worship by bringing forward our offerings. I ask you to please stand for prayer. O merciful Father, we thank you and worship you for the gift of your only begotten Son, born into this world of the Virgin Mary, a true man, that he might fulfill all righteousness in our stead, and then bear on the cross the full and just punishment for all our sins, and rise again on the third day. O Christ Jesus, Son of God and Son of Man, we worship and praise you for humbling yourself to be our Savior and Redeemer, for partaking of our flesh and blood and humbling yourself to the point of bearing the iniquity of all and dying on the cross that we might be pardoned and forgiven and have life everlasting through faith in your name. O Holy Spirit, we thank and praise you for revealing to us who Jesus is and what he has done for us in our salvation, so that we might trust in him and be saved from the judgment to come and from the eternal punishment we so deserve on account of our sins. Strengthen and keep us in the true and saving faith, that we might be spared on the day of judgment and partake of the eternal joys of Christ's everlasting kingdom. O gracious God, grant that we hear the good news of our Savior's birth, share it with others, and go to our homes rejoicing in the salvation you have provided for us in the Son. Grant us the peace of sins forgiven, the joy of fellowship with you, and the certain hope of the eternal blessings of heaven. We pray for the people of this world that they do not miss the true reason to rejoice in this day, but that they come to know and partake of your grace and mercy in Christ Jesus, our Savior. We lift up to you all who are sick or suffering in any way, and pray for your merciful kindness upon them, your healing touch, and the strength to endure all that you would permit them to suffer in this world. We remember especially today John and Karen, Linda and John, Joyce, Carl, Harley and Donna, Ron and Lois, and Tim, and all we remember in our hearts. We ask you, O Lord, to accept our praise and to hear our petitions for Jesus' sake. Amen. We pray also the prayer our Lord Jesus has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. I read to you the words of institution. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." And again, I invite you to come forward. Lord bless you and keep you in his baptismal grace. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. May this holy body and precious blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and keep you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Depart in peace, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you for Jesus' sake. Turn in your hymnal to page 199 in the front part. We sing the Nunc Dimittis, which is the words of Simeon.
Now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared me.
O Lord Jesus Christ, Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, we thank you for fulfilling all righteousness in our stead, and that taking upon yourself the guilt and punishment for all our sins, and making full atonement for us by your perfect sacrifice on the cross. And we thank and praise you for giving us to partake of your one holy sacrifice, that we might also partake of the blessings you won for us by your death, and have made sure to us by your glorious resurrection. Strengthen and keep us in the true and saving faith, and move us to live our lives for you while we await your glorious return and the joys of your everlasting kingdom. Amen. Receive now the benediction of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. You may be seated. We close by singing hymn 390. Let us all with gladsome voice. Thank you. Again, welcome to all of you. As far as announcements, our January congregational meeting is not next Sunday yet, but the following on January 14th. Anything else this morning? Yes.
I'd like to say to Lee, it was just such a blessing to hear you in the service today. You really keep up like a big boy. You really blessed my heart. Thank you.
He'll be smiling. Anything else? In other words, God's richest blessings to you and your Lord Jesus. Thank you.